And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. John Morley in the hot seat now, because the man who sits across from me is well known to our listeners as the presenter of Galway Talks, and he still is for this week. Keith Finnegan. Keith, good morning.
Strange to be on the other side, I have to say.
Are you struggling with this power dynamic here?
I'm quite comfortable with it, but it's kind of talking about myself is not something that I like doing a lot of the time, but here we are.
Well, you're going to have to for the next while.
That's what worries me.
Talk to me though, Keith. Bring me back to old Merview, because that's where you grew up. But I know you went between there and a home house out in Westgaw as well.
Yeah. I grew up in Barry Avenue in Merview, and I have to say, as a young fella, born in 1962, 14th of April in Calvary, which is the Bon Secours now. And at the time, you could actually see from our front door, apparently, you could see the Bon Secours, so no Glenine Heights there, but it was old Merview at the time. And we had a great childhood. The one thing that stuck in my mind is the wonderful neighbours we had. So you had the Rileys on one side, you had the Flahertys on the other side, the Hoys, the McCormacks, the Rabbits. They were all there, but you never locked a door. The door was always open, and they'd come in if they needed sugar and or otherwise. And we had the only phone in Merview because my dad was on call. So if there was a births, deaths and marriages, the phone would go and we'd be like telegram boys going around Merview bringing people down to get the news. So the good news and the bad news came to our house. But it was a great childhood. And then I was lucky because I had a wonderful uncle and a grandaunt who was like a grandmother to us, because my mom's mom died when she was very young, just after being born. And so they lived in Kirkcullen, where my mother was from. So then most weekends, we would go to Kirkcullen. So then we'd be feeding cattle, or you'd be cutting turf, or you'd be saving hay, or you'd be just generally farming stuff. But it was very simple at the time, pony and trap or pony and cart. And that was it, really.
And it's safe to say, during that time, as a child, you built up a good work ethic. You were delivering buttermilk and doing other jobs around the town.
Yeah, I had an uncle. He was just a wonderful man. He was a second father to us. My dad worked very hard, because in those days you worked five days, and he worked here in the cotton factory, actually. This is the building we're in, where Galway BFM is, was the boiler house. So he worked extremely hard. And then Joe was my uncle on the other side, and he did the farming and eggs and butter and all of that with his granddad. But yeah, you wouldn't get away with it now. A car and trailer into Chantilly. You'd sit on the back of the trailer, going in and going out, and you'd have the tankers of, and then you'd go to the person's house and you'd fill their bowls or their jugs, and they'd leave the money on the saucer and back in again. That was it. It was simple. And then I got to meet an awful lot of young people that I'm still friendly with, and the Brennans and all the crew from Chantilly, and we became friends then through that. So in those days, Merview and Chantilly were at odds with each other. But we all got on very well, and it was a cracking childhood. We really had a great childhood.
And you never got a kick in the back of the trailer?
No. I fell out of it a few times, but there was no kicks. There was no... But it was great. And then when you'd finished that round, then my uncle would go down to the Galway Arms, which is right beside where the Garda station is now. There was a metalworks there, and he'd go in and leave all the change on the counter, and he'd have a glass of Guinness, and I'd have a bottle of Club Orange, and he'd count the money, and it would be changed into notes, and that'd be the money for the next week.
Wow. And your, I suppose, involvement in radio, and you've touched on it there, goes back a long time. Your father himself was a radio engineer, then became an electrician.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there that this building was the cotton factory, and you spent time here.
We did. We spent a lot of time here because my dad was over the maintenance here. And there was a Pat Burke, Mr. Burke, who's from Chantilly, actually, ironically enough, a gentleman himself and his wife, Maureen. They're both gone now. But on Christmas Day, we'd come down here between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock and let Mr. Burke go home on the bicycle to Chantilly to have the Christmas dinner, to come back. And we'd be cycling up and down the main corridor here that's right behind us. And this the building we're in now was the boiler house, where the steam was made to do the printing.
Mm. But I'd say you picked up a lot of tricks from your father as well, as his apprentice in some ways in that
day. Yeah, he was a teacher. He was kind of ahead of his time as well. He would painstakingly teach you what he was doing. And he was a great carpenter. He was a great electrician, a plumber. And he made us, bar my older brother Aidan, the rest of us, George, Colin and myself, we could still do work at home, and I could still do a bit of electrical work, a bit of carpentry work and that. But they're the skill sets that he would have given us. Very talented tradesmen.
Yeah. And your mother was a very hard worker as well.
Mum was, yeah. She was working in McDermott and Allen in Francis Street, and our current chairman's grandfather, indeed, Peter Allen's grandfather, was the man who employed her, and then Peter Allen's father then was there, and then she had to leave there in 56. She got married in 55, 56, when Aidan was born in January of 56. So she had to leave, and she went back to work then in 1972 because Aidan was going through college, Colin was going through college, and we were coming up the way. So she went back working in the legal practices around town, and she worked until she was the guts of 73.
Mm.
So the work ethic was there in the family, yeah.
And it's safe to say that while you were young and you were in your teens, you found the love of your life and your childhood sweetheart. And it was through your dad's work you actually met her.
No, it wasn't. My dad's stepsister lived next door to Joan's house. And so she was living there. And I used to go down after school in the Bish to bring in the coal for her because she was old. So she was, God bless her. And there was a cousin there living with her. So then I kind of bumped into Joan from there, but I didn't really know her. They were living next door, a lovely family. And then we had the school musical, the Bish. So I was doing the lights for it with Dermot McLaughlin and Jimmy. And there was a gang of us doing it. Like, it was so primitive. Mother, good Lord. Biscuit boxes. And at the kind of wind-up party for that, I met Joan, and the rest is history. That was on the 4th of February, 1980. And we got married in 86. Yeah, it doesn't work for everyone. It worked for us to this day. But we've had ups and downs, like a lot of people. But it worked for us. And it does work for us because we respect each other. And we look out for each other as well, which is important. But kind of hard to believe that we're together since 1980. It feels like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you met her in that setting, you doing the kind of lighting and kind of technical work, and her, I know she's an artist, performing on stage.
Yeah, and I think she was playing lead in Oliver at the time in the Bish. She was playing lead in that. Joan was 15 and I was 17 when we met. So it was very young, but her mother trusted me and her father trusted me. And they were just the best in-laws in the whole wide world.
Mm. Now, moving on, Keith, I suppose, religion and faith, what feature had that in your life, and what impact did that have in your life? I know, going back to your childhood, you were very prominent in the church.
I was, yeah. I remember, and again, no disrespect to the Catholic Church in any way, but Hotez was where we went to Mass, which would be Thermo King Canteen now, because the Merview Church had been built. But I remember going to, so in those days you'd have Christmas Mass, Christmas Day Mass. Yeah, so you'd get Christmas Mass and then you'd go over for services again in the afternoon, Christmas afternoon, that would kind of break up the day then for you. But I remember it was only three or four, if even. But I remember going in and they were going with the incense on the altar, and the priest was shaking the incense around the altar and all of that. And I piped up, that smells just like Christmas stuffing, which caused consternation. But going back to the whole faith situation, yeah, I've always had faith. I'm proud of my faith. But again, I wouldn't show it very often, but sometimes you're weighing on it, sometimes you question it, sometimes you question what the church does. But I'm a Catholic and a proud Catholic, and I still like Mass. I don't get it every Sunday, I try to get it every Sunday. But it's something that I like to hold on to, John. It's kind of strange, but I'm not a holy Joe all the time, but I do like it.
Mm. But it does help you get through tough times in your life. And I know towards the end of your teens, you had a big loss in your family.
We did. Aidan, my older brother, died in a tragic car crash in Commercial Road in London, 1982. So life just changed at that very point. And I remember I was the one that answered the phone to say that there was an incident. And I called my dad at the time, and because we had the only phone in Merview. And 6452 was the number. So, yeah, so our life changed then in 82. And because it was England, it took a week for him to come home, and his wife was on, Aidan was 26, his wife was 24, so they were very young, and they got married very young as well. But yeah, it was tough. My parents never got over it. My mum and dad never got over it. We did, I suppose, the three of us that were left, we did. We kind of got on with our own life. I had met Joan at that stage. Colin had got married. George was going out with various people. and we got on with life, but he was always it took me a long time to get over it. But I do believe, and again it goes back to faith, that the three of us that were left, and my mom and dad and my uncle and my grandaunt and the rest of them, we've had a very good life. We've been very well looked after by those that have gone before us and minding us and angels. And I do believe in that type of stuff, that they are looking down on us and keeping an eye on us. But I do believe that the quality of life that Colin has had, George has had, I've had, and our families and respective families, and the life that my mom and dad had, I think Aidan and those that have gone before us have kind of just kept an eye out for us, very much so.
And you did get on with life because you began your professional career in radio, first with RTE, their community radio series.
Yeah, that was 1980. That started. So there was an ad put in the Connacht Central at the time by RTE. They were bringing RTE community radio. So they'd roll into town, they'd bring the technical team, and we went into Heinz's building at the time. The late Jim Fahey was there and others. So we'd meet in the Atlanta Hotel in Dominic Street, and we'd put the programme schedule together. I think it was a 10-day schedule we put together. Our own Doc from here was involved in it. He still has some of the original audio, so he has. Don't you dare produce it. You or Doc. And we did that. So the first bit of music I played was Ben by Michael Jackson. But there was a lot of us involved in that. Brian Curry from Ren Mhor, Hubert McDermott from the college, and Mrs. Egan, Larry's mom from Chestnut Lane. There was a gang of us involved with the time of our lives, though. I always loved radio. My dad used to bring us out on a Sunday, to George and I out on a Sunday to Silver Strand, so we could listen to Radio Luxembourg. I think George was bored out of his tree, but I just loved Radio Luxembourg. That was then.
So because of that and because of its impact, and it was the first song you played on radio, here's Ben by Michael Jackson.
Ben, most people would turn you away. I don't listen to a word they say. They don't see you as I do. I wish they would try to. I'm sure they'd think again if they had a friend like Ben.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, Keith Finnegan sits opposite me. And Keith, we'll move on to Galway Bay now. How did you get involved in the radio station in the early days?
Because when they set up, Charles Lynch, who's a gentleman of gentlemen, he was in the County Development Office, which is now the Enterprise Office in Galway. He was based in Woodkey. Charles put together a consortium with Liam O'Connor, Jerry Rabbit, Clem Walsh, the Catholic Church, Tom O'Connor, David Burke, Ronnie O'Gorman. I think they were the original ones. I hope I haven't left somebody else. Oh, and Eamon Hannon from the Western Health Board. So he put the consortium together, and they put a bid in. They won the bid, so they did. And I remember, when they got it, I remember coming down here and knocking on the door before it was set up, and I met a man called Jim Smith, who was the first manager, and he set it up, and I told him that I had a keen interest in radio, and I'd worked a lot of the Pirates at the time, so Pirates left, right and centre, and set up Pirates and took down Pirates, and we just did it, but from 88 onwards you couldn't do it. And I came in and he said, look, he was a cautious man. And he said, can you drive the desk? I said, I can. And he said, are you free on a Saturday and Sunday? So I used to come in on Saturday and Sunday and do Finnegan's Rainbow. That was 1989, 1990. That was around then, yeah. So I came in and I did Finnegan's Rainbow then. And then I just kept in contact and then had my own company, and business was tough at the time. And I got a call from Charles Lynch. There was a number of managers in here, Chris Nixon, Peter Norton, and a gang of other wonderful people. And so we started out as Radio West. And then under Peter Norton, it was changed to Galway BFM, which was far catchier than Radio West. So he rebranded that. And then Peter left and Charles rang me and said, look, at the time there was no mobile phone, so I don't know how he got me. I think he got me in a pager. I think he had a pager at the time. And he said, go up to Galway West, he said, and talk to Jerry Rabbit. He said, because Jerry was the chairman at the time, and he said, and we need someone for Galway BFM. So up I go to Jerry. I sit up on the storage heater with Deirdre, his nephew, his niece, and sit up on the storage heater, spoke to him, and he said, can you start on Monday? That was it. That's how it started.
So you came in as chief executive, and then a few months into the post, the current affairs presenter job opens up.
It did, yeah. The current affairs programme then was from 10 to 12, and it opened up, and I was always interested in politics. I was always interested in current affairs. And as you know, I know very little, if anything, about sport. I know the difference between hurling and football, which is, and rugby, that I would know that. But everything else I would know. Current, I love current affairs, politics, everything goes with it. So we started slow, and listenership was very low at the time. But as it went on and on and on, there was an RTE strike then came, and we kind of came into our own at that stage. And we just kept ticking away at it. And that's how really it took off from there. I mean, the workload was, I think day one when I went into it, I never intended being on air to do the current affairs programme. But I think needs must on the day in question. And I just never stopped.
Yeah.
Just kept going.
And you've broken some big stories over the years. If you go back through it, maybe the likes of the Eamon Casey one and that.
Yeah. Between ourselves and News at the time, Bernadette and... I got the call the night before or the night off that he was leaving. The secretary then of Eamon Casey indeed was Bishop Jimmy McLaughlin. We went on to become Bishop Jimmy McLaughlin, who was a family friend, and he confided in me and I could confide in him, so we got the story together and we worked on it and got it out. And some people in Galway were extremely generous to Eamon Casey. I remember tracing him down to where he was in South America, and I remember getting through to him by phone. He knew who I was because we had been linking back and forth, but he wouldn't talk to me, and then the cameras went down and all that. But yeah, we broke a lot of stories. There were a lot of tragic stories and crashes and deaths and accidents and all that type of stuff, but the Eamon Casey story would be one that stood out there because it just traumatised a lot of people. Then when Annie Murphy was on with Gay Byrne and the Late Late Show, we tried to get her, and we actually got a radio interview with her after the Late Late Show, and again that kind of ruffled feathers as well. But yeah, there were different times.
And you were extremely busy during this time as the chief executive and also presenting the current affairs show in the morning. How did that impact on your personal life as someone who was starting to raise a young family?
See, I go back to what I said earlier on about Joan. I mean, I remember when Aidan was born in July 92, and I remember being up to our Oxtors in here trying to sort things out, because it was difficult trading time for here and for the board and the directors, and they stood to lose a lot of money. But I remember Aidan was born, and I remember collecting him and Joan, and Katie was in the back of the car, and dropping them home to the house we had in Knocknacarra at the time, opening the sliding door, leaving them inside and coming back to work. So what impact did it have? I kind of had to cop myself on fairly quickly. And Joan and I had a conversation about it. So then I kind of put a proviso down that I would do anything that I could up to 7 o'clock at night time. I always wanted to be home to read the kids a story, going to bed at 7:30 and read them a story. So I kind of that kind of straightened me out, so that I put a bit of schlock to myself, so that I would just be at home for them. But other than that, it just consumed. I was gone early morning and back by 7 o'clock, but could be gone mornings at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Yeah. And if the transmitter went down in Thunderbrook, you're right, like, boy, if Joe Kniff couldn't get there on time, I'd get there. And you know, that you just had to keep going.
Mm. And do you have any regrets in terms of missing parts of the childhood for the kids? Or
I do, but there's no point in having it now. They're adults at this stage. They understand, and we have a good relationship, the whole lot of us. And it's only four of us. It's only four of us left. Mm. You know, in our immediate family, all grandparents are gone and that.
Now, Keith, you've also done a lot of charity work over the years, and I suppose a good place to start maybe is the Galway Hospice. And you got involved in there after your dad passed away, after being in their care.
Yeah, in 2011, dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on the last day of May, and he died on the first day of October. So it was a short illness. But the Hospice Foundation were absolutely tremendous, and I knew the Mary Derrick Fords, who was in there as chief executive, and then Seán Healy was in there as chief executive. But they were just wonderful people, and the staff were wonderful. And after Dad's death, Sean O'Healy came to me. He was the chief executive at the time, and he said to me, would you consider joining the hospice board? Now, at that stage, I was on Cancer Care West, and I was involved with AIDS West, and I was helping a lot of other charities around the town, purely because I knew people that were affected by it. So, yeah, I went into the hospice, and Dr. Richard Joyce in Gort was the chairman, an absolutely brilliant chairman. And then when he stepped down at a meeting a number of years ago, he said, I found the new chairman for Galway Hospice Foundation, and I'm about to announce his name. And he said, it's Keith Finnegan. And he hadn't told me beforehand. And I said to him, I'll have to go home and talk to Joan about it. And he said, don't say that to me. So I took over then for a period of about 5 years. I found working with the executive of the hospice was fantastic. We achieved an awful lot. But I think a lot of people don't realise the amount of work that goes in as a board to the Hospice Foundation. But the staff, like, mother of God, to this day, it's one of the happiest places. This sounds funny. One of the happiest places that I go into to see the way the staff, on an ongoing basis, from administration to medical to nursing to cleaning to cooking to reception, what they do with a smile on their face in right in the eye of a storm. They're just tremendous people. I'm delighted to be involved. I don't really talk about charity much because I do what I do to help people, and I help a lot of people outside of charity, and nobody knows. They don't need to know.
Mm. And I suppose you have in certain instances translated that charity work over to the current affairs job, the likes of the Lions Club Auction Day, and also the Radiothon was very successful as well.
Yeah, the Radio Auction Day was Pat Connolly had an idea that it was being done in, that was the Lions Club Auction, it had been done in Waterford, and then he brought it back up to me here, and we took it on board, Pat from Well Park, a gentleman of gentlemen. And then Cork, 96FM did Radiothon, we went down, we had a look at that, and we decided we'd do that for Cancer Care West and Galway Hospice Foundation, and we did that in the Time of York 2 years in a row, and hugely successful. I vowed when we finished the second one I'd never do it again. It entailed going out to people's homes and recording people that lost loved ones or were sick or were dying or otherwise. So I went from the top of Donegal down to Sligo, down into Galway and that, and recorded 16, 18 interviews on a for each series, and then you play them out during it to try and get people to donate money. At the end of that, though, I was well challenged, and I said never again.
Yeah. Now, I think it's safe to say a lot of people around Galway and in America as well would know you as the de facto Galway ambassador to America in many ways. Talk to us about how that love affair with America started.
It is a love affair, and it's still a love affair. It started because, again, Jerry Rabbit, who's a former chairman here, he was at a... We were in Dedham in Boston at an Irish festival with Dennis Hannan and a gang of other people, and we were at that, which was an Irish festival in the middle of a field in the middle of the country. And Dedham was dry, so there was no alcohol, no nothing. So that's where we were. And a guy called John McGorty came up and said to Jerry Rabbit, if you think this is an Irish festival, you need to come to Milwaukee. The next year, Jerry went to Milwaukee, and the following year then, which was 92 or 93, I think it was. Yeah, 93, I'd say. I went to Milwaukee and then went back. I've been going back every year since. It's important because you're talking about 130,000 people coming through the gates on every weekend over a three-day period. They're wonderful people. They are keeping the heritage of Ireland alive more so than we are ourselves.
Mm.
The biggest gathering of memorabilia outside of the National Museum, but they have it. But then it kind of broadened out because of Galway City Council and County Council into other areas like St. Louis and Seattle and Menlo Park. And so I would do a lot of the, I would know a lot of the mayor's offices in Chicago and all of that. But again, you just work quietly with them. And if somebody gets into trouble in Chicago, you have the likes of the Lawless family and Billy and his family. Billy and Anne are back at home now, but you could ring and say, look, John is in trouble and he's on 5th and 44th Street. Can you get there? They'll get someone in there, get them out of there. So you get to mind people and help people. But yeah, the American side of it is, it can be draining at times because it's a long way away and it's quite expensive, but it's worth it because of what we've achieved.
Now, your second piece of music you've picked is Elton John, Rocket Man. Appropriate after you're rocketing back and forth to America for all those years. Why have you picked this one?
I love Elton John's music, and it was only actually, so we have Alexa at home, and so if we're having dinner at night time or we're sitting down at night time and we're reading, and I love silence as well, I'd normally say, Alexa, turn on But more often than not, Joan said to me recently, why are you always picking Elton John? It's just one of those feel-good songs that, and I just feel, I've never seen him live, but I think that he kind of embodies some very positive times in life.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Keith Finnegan stays opposite me now. And COVID was a time for a lot of people to reset, Keith. And so too was true with you and your career.
Yeah, I found, I remember the morning that COVID hit. And it was a difficult morning, sort of, because nobody knew what COVID was, but the likes of Professor Martin Cormack and others basically came to our rescue, and it was, information was scant at the time. And I do remember at the time that within 48 hours, most of the people were working from the outside of the building here, because that's what it was. But at the time, I do believe, at the time, there was only Johnny and myself. There might have been somebody in news. I know news came from... and then the producer at the time would have worked from home as well. So we were in here for 5 days a week, and you were doing 5 12-hour days. And then we came in on a Sunday, Mark Roberts, myself, and the then Bishop Brendan Kelly, or Father Dermot, and we would do Mass every Sunday. I decided to do Mass really in week two, because I felt it was necessary. So Jimmy Higgins, who was doing the programme at the time, it was very good, and he would vacate at 11 o'clock. We'd do Mass 11 to half 11, 20 to 12, and then Mark would come in, or Jimmy would come back in again. And Jimmy was doing it from home as well. It was huge. It was massive. And the cards we got, the thank yous we got, because there was no Mass anywhere. There was no Mass. And the Bishop and Father James, and they had a way of telling people, you know, if they weren't getting communion, they kind of articulated to them that the Lord was sending it to them and giving it to them virtually. So they were, yeah, very positive time. The letters we got, John, were just amazing. But at the end of that, I was tired. And during that, we lost my brother-in-law, David. And then at that stage, I was coming up to 60. And I thought to myself, okay, you know, there's a time in life that you have to know when to go and when to decide to take it easy. And met with the board. They were just tremendous. So then I stepped down as chief executive and director, and then continued what I'm doing here on a daily basis for the last 2 years.
John, you asked earlier on about some highlights of my life. I think the main highlight that I'll take away from Radioland is the fact that I spent 8 years working with my daughter, Katie Finnegan, who herself, a talented journalist, talented broadcaster, loved radio. It was magic because we were the only father and daughter team in radio in the country ever that I can ever remember. And we actually tested it through the IMROs and some of the other organisations to see, did they know of any other father and daughter grouping in it? And there was none. There was none at all. But it was such a lovely pleasure to come in the morning time and be working with your daughter. And for her, I'm sure it was tough, me being dad and chief executive and director and boss and broadcaster and the whole lot, but she took it in her stride, and we had great fun.
Yeah, a bright young fella from Mayo came in the front door and became my producer, and that then was a ray of sunshine, because you came in like light years, just in, bang, bang, bang. So the fun coming in with you, and the fun and the life that you brought to it, was tremendous, and like, we have great fun every day. We won't tell secrets, but we do slag an awful lot of people on and off here. And you brought a breath of fresh air to it. And then the decision was, do we go again, or do we stay going? And again, with a wonderful board, I have to say, since 2006, we just came to the decision, and which sees me this coming Friday hanging up the headphones. And I'm looking forward to it. Mm. It's 34 years. I've thoroughly enjoyed every single minute of it down to today. Even I will miss it. Before you ask me, I will miss it. but I kind of have to put myself ahead of it and put my family ahead of that. And Joan has a very strong artistic career currently and doing very well. I need to support her more. But I also need to, look out for Keith Finnegan as well. Keith has to take control of his own life. And if Keith doesn't do it, nobody can. Joan can't make me do it. I have to do it myself. And before you ask me, what am I going to do? I can tell you I'm not going into politics. And I've said that, and I have been asked whether I go into politics. But I'm not. Would I like some form of politics? Perhaps, yeah. But I'm not going for election. Let people do that. And but there's a lot, I have a lot of options open to me.
And thanks for your kind words there. We have had a lot of fun. It's no secret. And even the most comment I get from people that hear the two of us on air or see us off air is, despite our age gap and despite our differences, we do actually have a great rapport and we have great fun together. I suppose, how important has that been for you? And has that given you an extra perspective? Has that relaxed you in the last few years, both on the mic and off the mic?
I see, I didn't know you. I remember the first time I met you was over in the Knox Hotel.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, who is this flipping lunatic coming into the building? Because you were wired, and you're still wired, but in the nicest possible way, because you're a very talented person. But again, a lot of people like that, and that energy will come out in the programme. And if I had one wish is that you could enjoy, I mean, I've enjoyed 34 years at it, but if you could get the enjoyment that I've got out of it, if you could get the goodwill that you see the cards coming in here, get the goodwill that have come in from people and the people trust you. And, you know, how many people have rang you and said, you know, can we, I'll do it, but will you not mention my mother, my brother, my uncle? People trust if they ask you to leave an aspect of a story out, not to offend others, you do it.
Yeah. Now, you're not going too far away because you still will be with us for the likes of the elections that are coming up, and you have plans for later on in the summer as well. Just talk us through what your next steps are.
Yeah, I'll be back for the local and European elections. So I'm taking some time out between the 12th and this coming Friday, and I have a dental appointment to sharpen my teeth, and for that election debate, and I'll have them well. My dentist will have them well sharpened, and my tongue will be well rested. And yeah, when you think about it, we did a quick packet of cigarettes computation recently. My son and I, Aidan and I, we reckon there's about 20,000 hours of broadcasting have been done that I've done just in Galway BFM. So I think give my voice a bit of a break, which I love. I'll miss you. I'll miss the crew in here and the people that I've been with since the very beginning. The likes of Martina and Bernadette, who've been with us every, and Johnny and Seamus and that, they've been with me from day one. I wasn't always nice. I had a row with most of them, and we'd have rows, and we'll have rows again. But there was a job to be done, and yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
To close us off, Lewis Capaldi, someone you loved. Why this song?
I have an awful soft spot for me for somebody that's down, or if somebody's finding it very difficult in life, and I like to give them a lift. But I was watching Glastonbury in 2023 on the telly. I've never been to Glastonbury, but I'm watching it, and I would be a fan of Lewis Capaldi. But I saw him breaking down on stage, and I saw him getting upset on stage, and I saw the crowd lifted him. So they finished that this piece of music that I've picked, and they lifted him and carried them, and he went off stage. And I just thought to myself, like, that's what the listenership have done to us in Galway BFM. They've kind of lifted our spirits on a daily basis by calling us and by listening to us. By listening to us alone is just a pleasure. But that's why I picked Lewis Capaldi, and I wish him every success in life, and he will be back, and he's a very talented man. But yeah, that's why I've picked Lewis Capaldi. Final answer, someone you loved.
Keith Finnegan, you are a Galway great, and it's been great working with you for the past year and a half or 2 years as well. And you won't get rid of me that easy. I'll be out having cups of tea with you and hassling hassling you and Joan at art exhibitions and different things around the place as well. So I look forward to that. You mightn't, but I will.
Well, I said to you privately, I said to you publicly now as well, for the next 6 months, whatever you need, I'm here to help. Just give me a text. And I'd love to see the success of John Morley and Galway Talks continue, because you have a very bright future. No matter where you go, by the way, you have a very bright future ahead of you. So thank you.
And I promise there's no script in front of him.
And there's no money changing hands here either. Come on, Lewis, sing that song, get me out of here.
I need somebody to hear, somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you numbed all the pain. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you loved.
There you go, Luis Capaldi. Thank you indeed for that. John, we're just looking at we're not looking at it yet, but hopefully tonight, 6:55, an eclipse. It's a big night for people out there.
If you look at sunset, look out towards the sunset, and of course be careful with your eyes in that. I know a lot of people like to do it either with a shadow, you can see it on the shadow and that leg as well. But the eclipse is happening. It's happening all across sort of Central America, sort of the Texas, the belt all the way up to New York as well. In Irish time, I believe, it's just around sunset, you'll be able to see a partial eclipse of the sun tonight. So it's a big event happening in astronomy. But a big event happening, as I mentioned a little earlier on Friday week, is Community Matters comes to Clonburr. So if you're in the Clonburr area and you want to get involved in that programme, a venue will be announced very shortly. But if you want to get involved, do text and WhatsApp us straight away and even email comments at goibfm.ie. Clonburr, a lovely part of the county, Keith, as well, in between the two lakes there. You're on the edge of the Gaeltacht area as well. And there's a lot of characters and a lot of history there. And we'll have a lot of fun. There's a lot of history in that area as well, in terms of you're heading into Joyce country as well. So hopefully we'll cover all that on the programme on Friday week, and we'll give you more details on that as it comes. Just in terms of some of the other ones, if you are in different parts of Galway City and County, you want to get involved, I'll just give them quickly to you. So the 19th of April, we're in Clonburr. The 3rd of May, it's in Clifton. 17th of May, Portumna. 31st of May, Ballyban. 14th of June, Knocknacarra. 28th of June, Milltown. The 12th of July, Loughrea. The 26th of July, Spittle. The 9th of August, Annadown. 23rd of August, Barna. The 6th of September, Oranmore. The 20th of September, Uachtarard. The 4th of October, Clymer. The 18th of October, Dunmore. And the 1st of November, Cathalastrand. There might be one or two extra thrown in between now and then as well. But that's how it's looking up until the 1st of November for Community Matters. So if you want to get involved, if you're from any of the areas, a few suggestions, come on yourself, do let us know. You can even phone 091-770-77 as well.
Yeah, Tommy Roddy's been just on to us there to say it's 7:55 tonight. I thought I read 6:55 this morning.
Yeah, sunset's still there at 7:55.
7:55 tonight. And just be careful. And it should be a good clear night. Hopefully, I was just looking at the satellite there. It should be clear enough for that.
Absolutely, yeah. As long as you have no mountains blocking your view as well. The likes of Leanne and them, they mightn't be able to see it with the mountains and that. So if you have a nice clear view to the west, you should be able to witness a historic moment. Of course, it's mainly America that can see the majority of that total eclipse.
And they've gone mad over this, so they have. I mean, the supermarkets are selling out. They're going having parties, picnics. Can't get a hotel for love or money in and around.
Well, it's great if you're in the eye care business as well, like, you know, to sell all them glasses. So. Yeah.
Listen, I got a lovely note. Thanks, John, for that. I got a lovely note from Sister Agnes Curley yesterday. She said, Keith, tonight the Toon Bridge Club are celebrating the 75th anniversary of their foundation. I'm president and I'm hoping that you might give us a mention on the programme this morning. And if I can get someone on from the good old days to talk to you live, would that be okay with you? I'm hoping Marion Coy, who was president for the 50th, might talk to you. Unfortunately, Sister Agnes, we ran out of time today. Wonder why. There was another fellow doing an awful lot of talking today. But anyway, she was principal of the GMIT. She was president of the GMIT for a number of years and is doing the main talk for me tonight as well at the event. I'm only a member in recent years and she has her research well done. So can we wish them the very best of luck? Again, just to wish them the very best of luck tonight in Toon. And if you're heading to that event tonight, do enjoy it from there. So the Toon Bridge Club, they're celebrating 75th anniversary. And Sister Agnes Curley wants you all to know that she wants you to go along from there. And I'm sorry I didn't get to Marion Coy, who's a lady of ladies as well. But unfortunately, we just ran out of time today. That's the way it happens around here. Also, we've got some calls in relation to the hospital and situation there. I would suggest you just get back on to the consultant in question. and do it straight away, sooner rather than later, is what I would say to you. So somebody's been on to us about a situation in the hospital that really and truly we can't deal with here on Galway Bay FM. So I would urge that you get back onto the consultant or his secretary or her secretary and get it done from there. By the way, congratulations to Lauren Crean and Aaron Reddington. They got married last Friday in, they're both from Oranmore, and they got married last Friday in Glenlow Abbey in Bushy Park. A real posh event altogether. But congratulations to them. They're heading off on their honeymoon on Wednesday morning, I do believe, from Oranmore. So if you see them out and about, the newlyweds, and we wish them the very best to look. They were flying people from Oranmore by helicopter into Glenlow Abbey because of roadworks near Bushy Park Church. Only joking, they weren't. But they had a wonderful day and a wonderful night indeed. And Kevin Sheridan, a great old friend of mine indeed, that we lived close to each other, and Kieran Joyce, they were the band for the night, I'm told, and they did a rocking show for them. So congratulations to Lauren and to Aaron, and good luck in your life together. And well done to the team in Glenlow Abbey as well for that. It'd be great though if they were ferrying people back and forth from Oranmore into Glenlow Abbey in helicopters. Couldn't afford it. Who could? But there you go. That's it for today. We're back July from Studio One tomorrow morning. And again, tomorrow morning, we've got a fairly full morning for you, as always. And each and every morning, now, there's no talk of retirement between now and Friday. That's it. People did what they did today, and that's it. We're business as usual for the rest of the week as well. So if you have a story for us, comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. Thank you for being there today. Thank you for everything. Thanks for your comments. And join us tomorrow morning just after the 9 o'clock news. And tomorrow morning we have some music for you and loads of other bits and pieces. Galway Gardaí looking for your assistance. So all of that and more tomorrow morning in the programme. John Morley produced. That's coming to an end as well next week. And then he's with you on Monday morning next. From your studio, Keith Finnegan. Thank you to Ava for your calls. But from us to you, until tomorrow, have a good and a safe Monday. We talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.